Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Bob.
Hey, Bob.
He's a four-time tire rotation champion. When he was a baby, his first words were, automatic transmission fluid. Bob's so cool, he has engine coolant running through his veins. And then there's Kyle, also known as Premium Unleaded. Legend has it that Kyle can change your oil with his toes, and that he can tell your tire's air pressure just by how you're walking. He's Bob, he's Kyle, and every Saturday morning they morph together to form the greatest superhero known to man, Mr. Mechanic. Check engine lights don't stand a chance. This is the Mr. Mechanic Show on 1110 KFAB.
Great Saturday morning to you. This is the Mr. Mechanic Show. 558-1110 is the numbers to get in. This is an interactive call-in show where you're in charge of the questions. We're in charge of the answers or making up whatever we want. Right, Kyle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's our time.
So, yeah, we'll give you the top two, three answers, let you know kind of what we run across, because we run across a lot of different things. I think, Kyle, you're fixing a Range Rover engine now?
Well, this week didn't go as I planned, you know, because, you know, generally sometime Monday afternoon, I'm like, you know, this is going to be an easy week. Hopefully I don't have to use my brain a whole lot, because
that went out the window.
It's hurting. Well, yeah. Yeah, all that's done.
Yeah, you're doing some timing in the timing chain stuff and a Rover. And what kind of engine's in that?
That'd be a Ford EcoBoost 2-liter.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you never know what you're going to drive.
Yeah.
You're driving a Ford, you're driving a Rover.
Yeah.
Driving one of the two. Or you're driving a mismatch.
You bet.
So.
And I found out, you know, it's like, hey, this is just a Ford motor. Maybe it won't be that bad. Well, you have to get all the Range Rover off of that motor to get down to the Ford motor.
But you can see the stampings.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Kinda.
I think you put a turbo in last week, and we put a turbo in last week, mm-hmm. So different models. But turbos are one of those things that just it's great to have. Just get drunk with the power.
Yeah.
But they leak oil, you know, or burn antifreeze or burn, you know, all that stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah. A lot of problems with turbos.
And they're not cheap.
No.
It's nice to have just one turbo that you can replace,
but
instead of having
two, three, four sometimes.
Well, I know, but some of the vehicles out there have twin turbos, you know, on both sides of the V6, and it gets pricey if they both leak. Mm-hmm. So
just, the one thing that I, you know, was an epiphany to me, you know, because here and there, I find some people, younger people, that want to be mechanics, and the first thing that pops into my head is like, how are you at reading? And they're like, what does that have to do with being a mechanic? I bet that I spent 3 hours this week just reading about this engine.
Yeah.
Because, of course, it came to me out of time.
Yeah.
And I had to figure out how to get it back in time.
There's a lot more reading than there ever used to be. It used to be just throw it in front of you and figure it out, which still is there a lot of that. But
yeah,
there's a fair amount of reading because things have gotten complicated. We were talking a little bit off air about how when you do timing marks and things like that, there used to be timing marks. There used to be a mark here, mark there, mark on the crank, mark on the cams, mark here, mark there.
Easy.
Now there's just nothing.
There isn't even a keyway in this motor I did.
Yeah. There's no
nothing
keyway.
Is held in place. You take the balancer off and you're done.
Yeah, everything's held on. Like cranks are held on by, you know, 300 foot-pounds. So are the cams, you know, mm-hmm. and things have to be put in a certain specific order, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. Otherwise, things won't line up. You got to have special jigs in order to do all this. And basically, it complicates everything. And everything is just more complicated, and that's why it's tough to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, But, you know, that's just part of the evolution of what's going on, and they try to get you to go back to where there. But, you know, we can get it. We can handle it. We just, they got the tools.
From the outside looking in when I started this, let alone you bring a Range Rover to any mechanic, they're going to swallow their spit, especially when you say this thing ain't running and it's got a hard rattle. And, you know, looking back, I read 3 hours worth of material about how this engine's supposed to work.
Well, once you've done one, you're ready to go.
Yeah. I already got a call into the guys out there just to send me all this stuff. Yeah. Just send them down with the parts on the tow truck.
Yeah. There you go. All right. We're going to head into some calls. Ray's got a transmission question. Ray, go ahead.
Hi, fellas. I got a question about this continuous variable transmission that I've been hearing about.
CB.
I was wondering if you could explain that a little bit. How are they accomplishing that, and are they any good? Are they good for only low-power engines?
I think yes, no, yes, yes, no. How's that?
Essentially, the dynamics of a CVT transmission, we've been doing it for years.
Yeah.
Go-karts use.
Snowmobiles.
It's just kind of a fluid clutch kind of thing like we had back in the old days.
Snowmobiles do it with a belt, mm-hmm. and they just have two opposite pulleys, and the more the RPM goes up, one pulley that was small is getting big, and the other one that was big is now getting small. So it just transfers power that way. It's all done off of a belt. The UTVs, ATVs do all that kind of stuff. Now this is all just kind of moved internal.
Mm-hmm.
Has a very durable belt on the inside of these transmissions, and it's all done off of fluid. So it's kind of weird to drive it when you first drive it because there's no shifting. It's just trying to get the optimal power range for the engine and the transmission to go. It's supposed to kind of save mileage, and I think it does, but in a weird kind of way.
Mm-hmm. It's pressure driven, but it has to do a lot with the engine RPMs. Engine RPMs go up, fluid pressure inside the transmission goes up, your variable clutch tightens, things start moving.
Yep. To answer your other question, are they good? Well,
some of them
are great. Some of them are not. Some of them are horrible, and they can't seem to fix the technology. But there are other ones out there, other models that just don't seem to have any problem. Because
there's some of them we don't even touch.
No, I think they've taken the basic what it was, and then they went through and re-engineered it and made it bulletproof. Where some other ones have just left it as it was for it to fail, and you can't sell new cars those don't fail. The big thing is they're so complicated that nobody really rebuilds them other than a factory that can make them brand new because it's not for the backyard mechanic. It's tough for even a seasoned guy that does it all day long, normal transmissions.
If you read any transmission rebuild manual, like I'm doing a dual range hydromatic from the 1950s, it's a complicated process.
There is so
much going on inside that transmission, and you can't get any more primitive in an automatic transmission than that. So they've taken that and added 50 more steps to it. And mm-hmm. Everything, the tolerances inside these CVT transmissions, you're talking less than a millimeter between going and no-go.
Yeah. So depending on what you're buying or looking at, you need to research that just a little bit. Or is that what you're thinking about doing, or you just wanted a general question to answer?
Just a general answer, but I was wondering, I noticed the only thing that they've advertised them on are real small horsepower engines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the light SUVs and stuff have them.
Yeah.
I don't know, they're ever going to be in, like, say, big trucks or anything. Or even your half-ton trucks.
And there are some in, like, sport utilities, like a Toyota Highlander or a
Subaru Ascend, mid-size.
Nothing in a truck that I have necessarily seen because you're asking a lot more of it. And they've kind of, gone over to the still, like, the 10 speeds and things of that nature to gain more mileage.
But they do put them on like a V8 engine?
I don't know which ones that I've seen on a V8. You know what? I'd have to look into
off
that.
Off the top of my head, I can't think of any that are on V8s. V6s and four cylinders are mostly what they're doing. But, you're talking V8. You've got something that's going to be towing.
Yeah, Nissan Pathfinder is about that size. Four-door SUV would be about the biggest. I don't think I've seen them much beyond that. But there's, the more of the little cars out there. And you're right, they're just not on the big stuff. But we've not really seen that come through or seen it have a problem.
Yeah, because I'm not sure that's the transmission. I mean, because anything you're going to have a V8 in is either going to be performance-driven or towing capability.
Right.
And I don't know that the torque value is there with CVT, and I know that the horsepower value, you're not going to have an impressive car with a CVT.
And they want them in the lower miles anyway to get more of your cafe miles out of it. So hope that answers your question.
Yes, very much. Thank you.
I appreciate the call, Ray. Yeah, and you also have to, the last thing there is you have to use special transmission fluid. Do not use anything other than CVT fluid.
And guess what that fluid does?
What's that?
It stinks.
like 80, 90 weight? Oh, my gosh. Tell you
it
what.
It might be worse than that because it just carries. Like anytime I service one of those, I mean, the whole shop is just. You got to open the doors.
I know it. It's horrible. Well, I tell you what, we're going to head over to Dennis real quick. Dennis has got a 96 Silverado. Dennis, what's up today?
Just the front end on the truck wobbles when I apply the brakes.
Okay. You got a couple of things here. The first thing that Kyle's thinking of is brakes and rotors. The rotors are shot.
You check your tie rods and steering.
Yep, that's the other thing.
That's going to make a very dramatic shake if you also have warped rotors. So
yep.
You could have more than one thing going on. These trucks,
okay.
We've done a lot of steering to them, and especially now that it's old, you want to get a good look at it.
So Chevrolet is going to have a little bit of play in the idler arm and a little bit play in the pitman arm. They just are.
Somebody shake it, and it's moving more than, say, 8 millimeters, you're out of spec. That might be a little bit too much.
Yeah.
I didn't hear you. What did you say after 8 millimeters, it's what?
It's out of spec.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to have a very small amount of play. I mean, you're not going to get them totally tight, in your idler and pitman arm. But your tie rod should be hard as a rock.
Yeah.
There should be no play in those tie rods.
So you think for sure that the rotors are warped on it or something then?
You get a dial indicator and turn them.
Yeah, that's what we're thinking of first of all. There's a lot of things going on here. So the front rotors probably are warped, and that's what you're feeling when you step on the brakes. But what we're saying is don't discount that the front suspension may have some play in, and that can also cause a gyration, vibration when it starts to apply the brakes. And then the next thing you need to do is why are those front rotors so warped? Is it because you look at the back brakes and you can see that the pads aren't even working back there? So you're now using the front brakes to stop the entire vehicle. It's supposed to be like a 60-40 split. Is it now 100% being done up front and the rears aren't doing anything? So if you fix the fronts but don't address the rears, if there is a problem,
you'll be right back.
You're right back to the same problem. So
also, since this truck is that old, I'm sure that there's rust somewhere on it. But when you get those rotors,
there's really no rust. It's only got 130,000 on it. So
yeah, the rotors will build up around the rust will build up around the rotors and cause problems.
Oh. Yeah. So when you get those rotors off, take a good look at that hub. Is there a rust buildup on the hub that's pushing the rotor out?
Mm-hmm.
Make sure everything's real clean when you go back together with it, is what I'm saying.
But, yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Take a good look at that stuff. You'll be set.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the call, Dennis. All right, we're going to take a quick break on the Mr. Mechanic Show. 558-1110 is the numbers to get in. We'll be back in a minute.
The Mr. Mechanic Show on 1110 KFAB is brought to you by Buchanan Service Center. Visit us online at buchananservice.com.
Before we jump back into the calls, I always try to find something funny, and this is funny, Kyle. So, they got the Whammos, I call them Whammos, the self-driverless cars, taxis. They're
down. Yeah, you've told me about those.
Yeah, they're downtown, the big cities, Phoenix, LA, things like that. Well, these are all Jaguar I-Pace robot taxis, and it dropped somebody off downtown LA, and had a guy jumped in and got behind the driver's seat, and he was attempting to steal it. He needed a car. This thing was running. Let's go. So they can talk to him, kind of says, you know, through the automated speakers there, through somebody wherever they're at the headquarters, and says, please exit the car, please exit the car. And he wasn't having any of it. So he's trying to figure out how to drive this thing, but it's all...
Did it drive itself to the police station?
No, it did not. I that's the reason I read that article, is I thought...
That would have been great. It would have been great. And then next thing they pull up in front and the horn starts honking. We got one out here!
Come get him! Come
get him! This guy's card got declined!
So, no, he didn't. He said, hey, can you get out of the car, please? We got things to do, blah, 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 blah. And he wouldn't. So they called the cops, and the cops just showed up to him instead of him showing up at the cop station. But that would have been great.
I like my idea better.
Much better. Driving right straight to the local precinct. I don't know why they didn't think of that. We'll have to follow up.
Yeah, anyway. If we ever get them here in town, then I can probably, it'll be easier for me to reach out to the people that need be and propose my
he got a ride.
Idea here.
He got a ride, but he didn't get the ride he wanted or the place he wanted to go. So there you go. All right, we're going to head over to Doug. Doug's got a 15 Ford Explorer. Doug, what's up?
Yeah, the air conditioning is making really loud noise. It's been going on for probably a year. And, of course, didn't happen much the last 6 months with winter being here.
Mm-hmm.
When the air conditioner's off, you know, the car just runs as quiet as can be. But when it's on, it's really loud. And I've replaced the tensioner twice, the serpentine belt, and even replaced the compressor. And none of them made any difference.
So you're talking about when the clutch engages on the compressor, it's loud.
Really loud, yeah. As soon as you shut the air conditioning off, then the car just runs as quiet as can be.
And is this, is it a growling noise that you're after? Is it a...
like a ticking. Kind of like a growling. I mean, we like I said, we replaced the compressor thinking maybe it was the bearings, but that wasn't it.
And the system seems to work okay. Cools okay?
Oh, yeah, it works great. Works great. Just so loud, it's loud enough, you know, that when people are outside the car, they kind of look at you like, what's going on under there?
Well... I mean, there's a couple things that come to mind with air conditioning. Did you do the repair yourself, or did you have a shop do it?
I had a friend of mine help me. We did the tensioner. Like I said, we did that twice, and then did the compressor.
Okay, so when you replace an air conditioning compressor or even open up the system, it has to be pulled into a vacuum to get all the excess air out of it before it can be recharged. Because anything more than, say, 2% of the system's capacity that's just dead air is going to make a noise.
It's like
a cooling system that isn't bled out all the way. It's not going to function properly.
And did you have it evacuated down and charged up by that gentleman or a shop, too?
Or did you just get the
gas?
Yeah,
he did that.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
So we can assume that there's no air in the system. That being said, I mean... The amount of oil is one thing. The system works so we can rule out restriction anywhere causing a back pressure.
Right.
It wouldn't be the first time that I put on a compressor and it'd been loud.
Yes. Wouldn't be the last time.
It wouldn't even be the 50th time.
Yeah. Sometimes new doesn't always mean new. And when you got a 15, it's kind of, you should be able to hear it click on and off, but it shouldn't be.
It
really
shouldn't be
loud.
Any crazy noise.
Some cars are loud. I mean, Subarus can be loud.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can also be kind of just quiet and you don't even know they're on. So.
Yeah, this one was really quiet just up here until last year. So.
Yeah, I'm thinking you've got a compressor still that's maybe.
Got a bushing bat inside and it's just causing a growling because, I mean.
Yep.
That's, you don't think it'd be anything like the harmonic balancer or
those don't growl
motor mount or
Those don't growl. The harmonic balancer will push out and destroy the belt because it's not in a line.
That, and if it were anything like that, it would do it all the time. It wouldn't be subject to
that's what I was
your
thinking.
Compressor coming on and off. I mean, yeah, you're adding a load to it. But
what we do is, you know, we know that it's in something spinning. When you turn the air conditioning off, it goes away. And you can take a stethoscope, kind of an automotive stethoscope, and check them all out when there. But as soon as you turn it off, it goes away. Your only two choices there are a tensioner, because you're adding extra load to it when you turn the air conditioning compressor on, or the compressor. That's it.
And you said you've replaced them both, so I would go with what Bob said.
Twice.
Yep.
Yeah, get a stethoscope, or if you don't got a stethoscope, get a long enough screwdriver and put up to your ear and hold to the case on that AC compressor. You'll hear it.
That, or it's time to move to a different brand, depending on what you got. Mm-hmm. It different manufacturer, maybe even go over to a Ford part. Sometimes they're not all built exactly equal.
Got the replacement at AutoZone. So.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks for your time.
You bet, Doug. Appreciate the call. All right, we're going to take a quick break on the Mr. Mechanic Show, and we'll be back in a minute.
The Mr. Mechanic Show is powered by Buchanan Service Center, 79th and Dodge and 50th and Dodge in Omaha.
Mike, what's up?
Well, I've got a car that occasionally likes to not stall out, but when I press the accelerator, I'll get going, and all of a sudden it'll just stay there and won't go any faster, any slower, for maybe 30 seconds or whatever, half a block, and then all of a sudden it'll kick in and take off, and it doesn't do it all the time. It's just real. It could be early in the morning when I first started up. It could be later in the afternoon when I stop and go on to run into a store and come back and start it up, and it'll do that. And like most things, the mechanic tells you can't fix it if we don't know what the issue is, if it's not doing it when you bring it in.
Check engine light come on when it does that at all?
No.
No, codes, no codes stored in the computer, anything along that line?
No, nothing.
First thing that pops into my head is the throttle body.
Yep.
That's going to be the first place I'm going to go. Is it clean? Is it working? Do I have any codes for it? If I don't have any codes for it, I'm going to drive it after I've cleaned it if it needs cleaning. Secondly, I'm going to disconnect the battery before I go on that test drive as well. And then we just kind of look at them and see what they're doing. I mean, we can see a voltage input in the computer saying, hey, this throttle's opening at this much, here's my voltage, and then if this issue does occur, is my voltage dropping out? If it is, then I'm going to plug in a different tool that's really expensive, and it's going to tell me what the issue is.
I had the battery replaced about a month ago. And now that you bring that up, I can't remember if I had that problem then or not, because this has been going on for a while.
That being said, then, I'm definitely going towards that throttle body. Is it dirty? If it is, we're going to clean it and go through the throttle learn procedure.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, disconnecting that can also stir things up. As fixed things.
Go ahead.
I have a friend of mine who is an ex-Ford mechanic do that for me.
Okay. And when he's asking you to
that could be the issue.
Yeah, if he's asking you to disconnect the battery, what we're trying to do is power everything down. So it gets confused.
And that's what he told me.
But had one the other day. We changed I can't remember what it was, a throttle body on, I think it was. And after we got done, sometimes they just come right back to it. You don't have an issue. And the other one, it just started screaming at $2,000. So then we've got to go in and readjust everything, go through a throttle body relearn, and then it came right down. It wasn't a car. I don't remember which one it was, but it
Subarus are a big offender. Like, if you clear the codes in a Subaru, you could have a car that doesn't idle. And you got to get in there. You got to clean out your throttle plates. You've got to relearn your idle just because you've done that one task. And now, since there's buildup in there, it doesn't know where to set the base idle because where it's wanting to set it is too low now.
Yeah, and it doesn't set it zero like you think it would. It wants to set it at 1, 2, or 5 so that you got a little bit of air coming through to get your idle at 800 RPM. And what I was going to say was, when we did that throttle body, it was a car that doesn't normally need all that, but this particular case it did, and just was – so we reset it and everything was good.
So take a good look at that throttle body and, you know, see kind of what's going on there.
Well, I was up to, you know, when it does it, it's happened somewhere around 1,500, somewhere around there. And then when it finally kicks in, it shoots up to 3,000, and then it comes back down.
So, yeah, that's the first place we're heading.
I'll have him look at it.
Yeah, yeah. And then I think the second place, you bet. I think the second place, would a cam phaser do something like that if it was sticking?
It very well. It could, but I think that you're going to get
more codes.
P011 for cam over advance.
You're going to get timing codes, things of that nature.
Eventually, but this is a Ford. Fords don't like to set codes right away.
Yeah.
I had one in the bay running with the fuel injector unplugged for 20 minutes, and it did not set a code.
Yeah.
So, mind you, I mean, Ford's kind of got a mind of their own as far as readiness monitors, in my opinion.
Yeah, and when it wants to tell you what's going on. So, try that, Mike. Let us know.
I'll tell my friend Mike that, too.
Sure.
Thanks.
Well, he knows all about it.
He's
you ain't telling
drink
him.
It and breathed it, yeah.
Yeah, you ain't telling him nothing he don't already know. So,
probably not.
No.
I'll remind him, though.
All right. Appreciate the call. All right, we're going to head over to Rob. Rob's got a 14 GMC. Rob, what's up today?
Well, I have a 5.3. By the way, I really enjoy you guys' show. Thanks for doing it.
You bet. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. I've got a 5.3 liter. It's got 175,000 miles on it, and I put a tranny in at 160. I'm looking to upgrade this vehicle, and I know that this is a 2014, and on the engine, when I bought it, I did some reading where it says it shuts off certain cylinders of the engine when you're driving.
Yeah, so active fuel management.
Early on, I put a chip in there at probably 30,000 miles. So, supposedly to turn that off so that it wouldn't hurt the engine. And I'm just wondering if I'm looking for another vehicle, another GMC or Chevy, do these newer ones, the 15s up to 22s, do they have that same, I don't know what you call it.
The lifter issues and stuff. Yeah, they have the same active fuel management. I mean, they have made some changes to it. I mean, we don't see near the issues with them that we had with the early ones, say like the 2007s to 12s. I mean, that would just shell out lifters and eat up the camshafts. We're not seeing stuff like that.
Now, you're still having, so this is probably one of GM's downfalls. Yes, you could find certain ones that don't even have the active fuel management in it. I mean, I had a 13 that had a 6.2 in it, and it, because of the ratio that it was that it had in the for pulling, it did not have it.
Mm-hmm.
It was just solid, not solid lifters, but it was just normal
V8
lifters.
Engine.
Yep, normal V8 engine. And then, so if you look into the 6.2 side, you might find that, but you got to run the VIN numbers in order to know whether it has it or don't have it. Majority of them do have it, but I just lucked out and didn't have it. Now, when you got into, when you went through pandemic, they were trying to source lifters at a variety of different places that were terrible. And they were going bad left and right, and they were knocking motors out and still kind of doing the 21s and 2s kind of right through pandemic. Late 22, early 23s is kind of where they, probably mid to late 22s is where they kind of solved that problem, went back to their regular supplier, and they don't have near the problem that they used to. They still have problems, but not near as much as they do. Doing your update keeps those lifters on all the time and doesn't collapse them and bring them back and forth, so it's prolonging that. Are they going to go bad? Yeah, probably, because there's, quite honestly, there's too much technology in a lifter. And
all it's got to do is go up and down, and
they've complicated the crap out of it. And that's where it kind of breaks, is where it goes in between the two, and it causes oil consumption. So blah, 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 blah. It's just, yeah, they still have some problems.
Well, if I upgraded my vehicle, if I get another vehicle, I should probably just go ahead and get another one of these chips and put in. I guess that's really what I was kind of wondering.
I'm sure you can probably use the same one if you're going from GMC to GMC. I'm sure that there's no
certain years. You have to difference. You have to get, like 7 to 13 would probably have one that runs all that, and then like 14 up. So you're probably may not be able to use the same one depending on how new you go. You may have to purchase a different one. So just because the wiring and things like that have changed. So I would not use the same one that you have without doing some research.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah. Well, no, yeah. That's great information. I just, that's crazy. And the transmissions on these things, I mean, do you see them getting replaced at a certain average, certain mileage? 150, 180?
Yeah, I mean the six speeds were really durable, but yeah, you know, 150, they're pretty common. The eight speeds had more problems with shuttering and shifting, and yeah, they have problems.
10 speeds are pretty durable.
10 speeds are pretty durable. They've got a few issues with them, but they're probably by far the most durable one.
The 10 speed.
Yeah, I love the way the 10 speed shifts compared to the six and the four. It's
It's always shifting.
Always shifting. Smooth. Power's great. It just is. It feels way better when you're driving that truck.
Huh. That's really good information to know.
Yeah.
Hard to find this stuff out.
Nope. You just gotta get somebody who knows that's had one. I'm a GMC fan,
that's
so
right.
I've been through most of them.
All right. Well, I really appreciate the information, guys.
Yep. Appreciate the call, Rob. We're going to take a quick break on the Mr. Mechanic Show. We'll be back in a bit.
The Mr. Mechanic Show is brought to you by Buchanan Service Center. Two locations, 79th and Dodge and 50th and Dodge in Omaha.
Bob, what's up today?
Hello. Yeah, it's a 08 Ford Super Duty 250. Uh-huh. It's a two-wheel drive, and it's a 5.4 gas. It runs good, other than for mileage, but when you come to a stop sometimes or when you're driving around slow, it starts just running off, or you can hear it knock and that, but then if you stop and give it gas, it snaps out of it. I don't know what the problem would be.
So you say the engine starts rattling?
Yes.
When this is happening? Do you notice it, like when you're coming down from higher speeds to a slower speed? Does it do it a lot then?
Well, probably not so much like on the highway, but like when you're driving around slow in town, or mm-hmm. or when you pull up and pull up to a stop, sometimes then it just starts rattling real loud, and so you give it more gas, it snaps out of it.
Any check engine light on?
It came on last week. Even before it came on, it was doing it for a long time before that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Ford.
It's Ford.
Yep.
When they come on, they stay on.
Yeah. Have you had the code looked at?
Yes, I had, and he wrote down a bunch of numbers. I don't have them with me right now. The truck did have,
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say the truck did have a bad exhaust leak, and I had that fixed. That was kind of expensive, but it still has this problem.
Yeah, so, I'm guessing these codes are going to lead us to the problem, but to me, and knowing that engine, it's sounding like something with the timing phasers.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you're driving around slow, your oil pump isn't really working that great. These were good for those phasers failing, and those phasers failed because the galleys that take oil up to them would plug up. And, I mean, it's a matter of, was the oil changed at the right intervals? Were we using the right oil? I mean, are we using an oil that's sludge prone? I mean, these ports are very small that take oil up to those phasers. And, I mean, mind you, they're coming from the oil pump, so there's a lot of pressure there, but they have issues with this plugging up.
Right. How does it make the same kind of noise? I mean, if it's sitting overnight and then you go start it up first thing in the morning, what kind of noises does it make then?
It usually sounds real good.
Huh. Okay. All
That's
right.
odd, but yeah, I mean, it might be something. I mean, if you find that list of numbers that he wrote down, you know, give us a call back next weekend. But, I mean, to me, it's sounding like an oil pressure issue.
Everything
and the fact that it's running bad is just because it's slow on time.
Yeah, everything you're describing heads straight towards timing.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's just a very common problem with that particular engine.
The Mr. Mechanic Show is brought to you by Buchanan Service Center. Two locations, 79th and Dodge and 50th and Dodge in Omaha.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.